Hello and welcome to Stories from a Small Blue Marble. My name is Brian Hancock and I'll be your storyteller. Before we get started, I wanted to thank you for listening. These stories are my life in small bite-sized chunks. I have had an incredibly charmed life and I'm happy that you're here with me to enjoy some of it. So let's get started. My previous story was about my arrival in America. This one is about leaving South Africa, the place where I was born and where I grew up. As a kid, I dreamt of sailing around the world, and in 1979, I had the opportunity to join a boat racing in the Cape Town to Uruguay race. The boat was called Dubulamanzi, which is the Zulu word for Sweetwater. I think it's a lovely name. It was owned by one of South Africa's most famous businessmen, a man by the name of Gordon Rennie. Many of you might have taken a Rennie's antacid tablet from time to time. That was one of his many businesses. Gordon was a larger-than-life character. He was a big game hunter at a time when big game hunting really was just that. He had to go out into the bush for weeks and hunt lions and elephants. Not like these days where they pretty much bring the animals to you so that you can shoot them. He was also a big game fisherman, catching marlin off the east coast of South Africa. And he was a well-known sailor. In the late 70s, the South African government clamped down on citizens having offshore bank accounts. They were worried that there would be a money drain, which would bankrupt the country. Gordon, of course, had a Swiss bank account, and he was busted. Because he was such a big name and such a famous person, the government wanted to make an example out of him, and it was a big deal and was splashed all over the newspapers. I had joined the Dubulamanzi in Durban, and we sailed the boat to Cape Town to get it ready for the Cape to Uruguay race. That was when Gordon locked himself in a hotel room in Johannesburg, drank a few bottles of brandy, took some pills and slit his wrists. He was, as he told us later, embarrassed and humiliated by the negative press coverage. Only thing was, he didn't die. A hotel maid found him and they rushed him to hospital. Meanwhile, we were in Cape Town working on the boat. We figured that our chances of doing the race were pretty much over, but we did get a message from Gordon that said to keep preparing the boat as he still wanted to do the race. So we kept on working, getting it ready, while Gordon was in hospital recovering. He got out of the hospital and the race was on for us. But about 3 days before the start, a young, well-dressed man stopped by the boat and asked if he could speak to the captain. He was Gordon's doctor and he told our captain that we should call the race off because Gordon was suicidal and was planning on jumping overboard during the race. Now, we were just kids. I was 20. Bill Bullard, our skipper, was 23. We didn't care. All we wanted to do was race across the Atlantic. Anyway, we took off for Uruguay and after a bit of a rough start, the weather settled down. The boat had a center cockpit and at watch change at night, we would sit in the cockpit and have a cup of coffee. Except Gordon, who has been a real pain in the arse. He'd go to his aft cabin, usually in a huff. He never joined us for coffee. One night after Gordon had pissed us off, we were sitting there just joking around, saying pretty much, if Gordon wanted to jump overboard, we would help him. It was funny at the time, I guess. Well, we sailed for 28 days with the spinnaker all the way to Uruguay. Halfway across, I celebrated my 21st birthday. Now here's a funny side story. I was the sailmaker on board and I was down below repairing a spinnaker that we had blown out. I was using a hand crank sewing machine. It was my birthday and I managed to put the needle right through the index finger on my left hand. The needle came out again and left a very neat stitch. And yes, it did hurt like hell. Anyway, it was a perfect passage, and Gordon was really happy at the end. Now, he was a bit of a cheapskate, if you know what I mean, but he did take us out for dinner at the Punta del Este Yacht Club. After dinner, he got up to make a speech, and he started to tear up. He told us that he had planned to jump overboard during the race, but he said that he heard us one night in the cockpit saying how we would help him jump overboard if he wanted to. And he said to us, I was not going to give you bastards the satisfaction of killing myself. And now I'm glad that I didn't. I feel much better after being at sea. You all saved my life. So there you go, life, eh? After Punta, we sailed up the coast of Brazil. Gordon had found himself a very young girlfriend in Uruguay, and she joined us. When we got to the Caribbean, Gordon was a transformed man, and to prove it, he went out on the streets of Castries in St. Lucia and scored some pot from a local dealer, and then came back to the boat and smoked a huge joint. I left the bottom mines in Antigua and went on to do the infamous 79 Fastnet Race, where 22 people died. I sailed aboard a British boat called Battle Cry, but that's another story. This story is recounted in more detail in my memoir, Two Bricks and a Tiki High. The story is called The Great Gordon, and there is also an almost true story in my book of short stories, More Twisted Tales, about a friend of mine who sailed on one of Gordon's ships that sank in the Indian Ocean. It's a great story and is called Past the Antacids. Well, I hope that you'll consider buying one or both of my books. And as always, thank you so much for listening. For all of my books, please go to www.brianhancockbooks.org. It's .org, not .com. There you'll find all of my books, my Substack blogs, stories, and very soon my podcasts. There'll be interviews with sailing legends, and I think you'll enjoy all of the content. So please check in and say hello. And thanks, as always, for listening.